Welcome to the Adonis Adonis Index podcast. My name is John Barber, and with me is Jason Gottlieb. Jason won our open contest this time around, and Jason placed pretty highly in one of our previous contests, so he's got some insights from, I guess, what it's like to go through more than one contest. And into that, we were just talking briefly about the kind of the gray area that it seems that post-contest is a big gray area for a lot of people. It almost gets to the point where someone can learn to lose some weight but doesn't really know what to do with themselves once they've hit that goal date. So that's going to be kind of where we go with this, but I don't really have anything scheduled. This is mostly, Jason, you're going to direct this, and I'm going to, as I hear you say stuff, any thoughts that come to my head, we'll just sort of go with it.
Yep, sounds good to me.
Right, so I think you already had an idea where you wanted to start, so I'm just going to let you go.
Okay. So basically, I figured I would just start with the end of AP3, since I don't really need to give any background, because if people want to hear that, they can just go to that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when AP3 ended, I was pretty burnt out, and I decided to just take a couple weeks off to let my body recover. And that was about 2 weeks that I didn't go to the gym at all. And then I wanted to figure out what my muscle index was. So then that third week, I was only sort of going to the gym a little bit to calculate that, but I wasn't really training. And then I think it was about 4 weeks till I was really training again. And in that time, I wasn't taking measurements or keeping track of anything, and I was just pretty happy that, like, I made the transformation. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally started taking my stats again, I had rebounded a bit and was definitely not pleased because I didn't think that I had put on as much as I had. But that's when I realized that you can't stop paying attention to your stats if you want to make this a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I felt like I had it handled, it was pretty easy to just put back some weight. And, I should have known that since I had gained a lot of weight in the past, and that's why I had to lose it. But it was just like this mental thing where I thought I had it handled, so like everything was cool. And I just kind of thought, oh, it's just like water weight.
Mm. Now, in those 4 weeks, what was your mental disposition? Were you just kind of just enjoying yourself, or did you feel antsy about training? Did you really appreciate the kind of the time off? Like, you know what I mean?
I was a little antsy about getting back in the gym and training. And the training wasn't really an issue because I just find it really enjoyable. But it was more that I had spent, I mean, AT3 was 3 months, but before that, I kind of got into Adonis towards the end of AT2. So basically, it was, I don't know, maybe 7 months that I had been at, you know, at various levels of a deficit.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a rebound from, you know, 7 months of cutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just enjoying eating pretty much all the stuff that I didn't let myself eat that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew that I wanted to get back into it pretty quickly. So I think it was an unconscious thing where I was like, okay, I have like 2 to 3 weeks. Like, let's just get all this food that I've been depriving myself of all in at once. And then it's a really quick period of time, so I can't do that much damage, and then I'll get back on it. And that's kind of a stupid mentality, but I didn't really have maintenance down at that point. I only knew how to cut.
Hmm.
So at that point, I realized the way I had been going about it, where I was pretty much just depriving myself as much as I could, and trying to force mentally and physically my body to do what I wanted it to do, but that wasn't going to work long term. And at that point, it was around the beginning of AT4, I was thinking of competing in the Open, the first time that it was a possibility. And so I took my pictures at the beginning of that, just to see what it was. And then when I compared them to my AT3 pictures, I got really embarrassed because I had let myself go more than I thought I had.
Mm.
And a lot of that is actually just because when I look in the mirror, what I see doesn't actually reflect reality. And it's not in a way where, like, people with eating disorders see themselves being fat and they're actually grotesquely skinny, or people see themselves as really skinny but they're fat. It's just, I just see myself as that's just what I look like.
Hmm.
And I can't see the difference, you know, in the mirror. But if I take a picture and I look at the picture, that's the only way I can really see what I actually look like.
Hmm. And that picture could be what you were just looking at in the mirror 5 minutes ago, but it just changes when you see it that way.
Totally. It can be, I'm looking in the mirror holding my phone and I take a picture with my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can, without even like stepping away from it, just look at the picture on my phone and it looks, I see, this is what I really look like.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the mirror, I'm just like, well, that's just what I look like. I always look relatively the same. But in the pictures, I can be like, oh, I'm definitely bloated from eating a ton of food yesterday, or, oh, I actually, like, look pretty good today.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. I don't know if, you know, that might just be me. Other people might be like that. I think it's just, like, removing myself from myself by one step, by taking that photo.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense, and I bet you other people might resonate with that who, like, something about the physically being, like, looking at yourself in the mirror, maybe there's some kind of perception, something going on with the way you perceive yourself that you just, like you said, you have to take that one step, put that one little, I don't know what you call it, a step away, a barrier, something, and then you look at the picture and you might be slightly more objective instead of subjective looking at the mirror.
Oh, totally. I think it's kind of like, well, it goes with, actually, after 1 year of being on the site, I posted a list of tips that I had for making this an actual lifestyle instead of just winning a contest.
Mm.
And that's my number one thing that I put on there, which wasn't really in order of importance, but and I have this up because I kind of figure I could just go through these things since this is sort of compilation of like how I make this a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But my number one thing is that you have to be honest with yourself. So looking in the mirror, I always kind of look the same. Like at the end of AT5, I could look in the mirror and I'm like, I look kind of good, but I wasn't really that impressed by it. And then if I take a picture and I look at the picture, I was like, oh wow, I look a lot better than I think I look.
Hmm.
And it's all so, just because I had to remove myself from myself to be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's almost as if the mirror chops it down on both ends. You don't look as good as you probably do in the mirror, and you probably don't look as bad as you when you look bad in the mirror. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it brings up when you're not looking great, and it brings down when you look great. So you're kind of just normalized.
Totally.
Like you said, you look in the mirror, and every single day you're like, eh, I look about the same as I did 5 months ago. When clearly you don't look the same, but maybe it's the ritual. Like, you're so used to seeing yourself every day in the mirror, you can't actually perceive changes, so you don't ever really know what you're looking at.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it. I mean, I'm sure there's some psychological reason that I don't know, but I know when I was a lot heavier, I would look in the mirror, and I thought I looked a lot better than I really did.
Mm.
And now I look in the mirror, and I don't think I look as good as the pictures look. So
Right. So, and that's what I was trying to say. It takes the two extremes away and pulls you into the middle.
Yeah, it just kind of averages everything out where you're like, yeah, I look pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an important insight. I don't know how, where are we on the chronology? You're basically what, four, six weeks?
Basically,
We're up to 85, right?
well, the those pictures that I took at the beginning of 84 was when I kind of realized what I had been doing, the cut, wasn't going to work moving forward. Unless the way I wanted to do things would be like fatten up for, a month or two and then spend 3 months losing it. And then I could just, basically be miserable for the majority of the year and then look good for 3 months out of the year. And, that's not what I wanted to do. So I started realizing that what I had been doing as far as maintenance, wasn't working and that I was eating more than I really should be eating. And, I was making allowances for things like, oh, I'll just eat a little bit less tomorrow if I eat this now because I haven't eaten it in months. And so I just didn't want to move forward depriving myself every day as much as possible. And there was a lot of experimentation during AT4, and actually a lot of it started to clear up. Like while AT4 was going on, I was also planning a wedding. And you mentioned once, like, I was really stressed out about the contest and everything going on at once. And you had mentioned that it probably wasn't the right time to be competing. And
Yeah, I remember that.
and this goes back to be honest with yourself. As soon as I thought about it, I was like, yeah, you know what? I really don't have the energy to put into this right now. And as soon as I was honest with myself about that, and I really knew this the whole time, and I hadn't, I really wanted to do it deep down inside, but mentally I just wasn't committed to it yet. And it's because I knew I really shouldn't be doing it at that time. And once I let go of it, everything got way better. And I basically went from when I first started, before I even started Adonis, I started trying out Eat Stop Eat. Then after a while, basically at 2 weeks into AT3, I realized I wasn't going to be able to fast because I was too stressed out at work with long hours and the evil snack table being right by us and all that. So that's why I was just trying to eat as little as I could every day and just try to eat, tons of fruits and vegetables to make myself full as much as I could. But I knew that I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to still eat whatever I wanted to eat. I just had to find a way to eat less of it and still, be in a deficit, but eat what I want to eat. And listening to a lot of other winners' interviews was really helpful with that, especially after AT4 ended. A lot of those, like the open ones, were really helpful for maintenance. But I basically went full circle from Eat Stop Eat to just eating, eating kind of all day, but making it as low calorie as I could to try to be in the deficit, to not really watching the calories as closely as I should be, and not wanting, and wanting, and then I thought, I did AT3 without really fasting, except for at the very beginning, so I don't really need to fast. And then it came full circle to, if I fast 2 times a week, I can kind of eat whatever I want, and it doesn't matter. And that was actually for the wedding, because I bought my suit pretty soon after AT3. And it was kind of a slim fit. So I knew that in April, the wedding was right before the end of AT4, which was another reason why it really wasn't a good idea to compete.
Yeah, you were
And I
just
knew what
putting way too much stress on your life.
it was way too much. I would have had, like, after all the celebrations were over and it, like, life was back to normal, I would have had 9 days to basically cut anything that I had done wedding-wise.
Yeah, like a wedding alone is enough to give someone a nervous breakdown. Doing that and competing is, I don't know. I mean, I kind of didn't expect you at all to actually enter, just because it was obvious, probably everyone around you except you, that's just way too much to do all at once.
Yeah, you know, it was sort of obvious to me. I felt like it was way too much, but I'm kind of stubborn, so I wanted to do it anyway.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's kind of one of those things where you, like, clearly you've done it before, so you know you're capable, but it's almost like you can imagine a lot of stuff, but your body, your actual physical constitution can only handle a certain percentage of how much you think you can handle. And it doesn't
Exactly.
mean you're like, yeah, it doesn't mean you're a weak person. It just means, you know how we talk a lot about stress? The stress doesn't matter what form it shows up in. You know, there's only so much you can handle until you just get sick and you just fall apart.
Oh, yeah, totally. And around that time, I think you did a podcast on that specifically, where it was basically like saying stress is stress. And that's actually become a really big thing for me. That's kind of how I won AT5, really, was just recognizing life stress and being able to balance whatever stress was going on in my life with my workout load.
Mm-hmm. All right, well then, are we up to when you're starting AT5 now?
Yeah, we can get to that. So I started AT5 really when AT4 ended. And at that point, like, I had actually slimmed down to pretty close to where I had been at AT3, just because I had to fit into this suit for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I wanted to be, like, it was a slim fit, but I wanted it to be a little loose before the weddings, because there would be a few days beforehand where I'd be eating a lot, and then at the wedding itself I'd be eating a lot, and I wanted to make sure that it wasn't, like, suffocating me, you know,
mm-hmm.
at my wedding. So I did that, and the way I did that was basically just by fasting 2 to 3 times a week. And I only did this at work, and it was basically no breakfast, no lunch, and then I'd eat dinner. And I didn't tell my wife that I was doing it, so she had no idea. All that she really knew was that when I got home, I was really enjoying dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically how I cut all the damage I did after AT3.
Mm-hmm.
Was just, I knew that I really didn't have a choice, because I had to fit into this suit. And I also didn't want to be miserable depriving myself of what I like to eat. So I just kind of went back to eat, stop eating. It was, you know, 2 to 3 fasts a week. And then when AT4 ended, but the winners hadn't been posted yet, I already kind of posted that I was going to jump in AT5. and I hadn't declared any, like, winning at all yet. I just said, I want to make my old pictures look small in comparison.
Mm.
And really, that was my main goal the whole time, was to take my AT3 pictures, which were good. Like, I'm not going to dispute that. Like, that looked good. But I want to make those not look so good.
Mm-hmm. And, no, you want to improve on yourself, yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't just want an improvement. I wanted a noticeable improvement where you
mm-hmm.
look at it and go, damn, that looks way better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what my main driving goal was the whole time. But as soon as the winners got posted for the first open, and I saw, like, everyone's pictures up there, you know, like Joe Weaver and Gaddafi and Mark Levy, who continued looking great, I saw those pictures, and I was like, I want that. And it was like a switch that just turned on. And I was just like, you know what? Not only am I going to make my AT3 pictures look small, but I'm winning the Open.
Mm. And you approached it with that mindset.
Oh yeah, there was no choice. Like, it wasn't I wanted to win. It wasn't it'd be really cool to win. It was just straight up, I want pictures that look like that. Specifically, Gaddafi's pictures, because those were really nice. And I was like, I want pictures that look like that. And to get pictures that look like that, it means I'm going to win. So there's no choice. Like, I'm going to win this contest. So then I declared it on the blog, and around the same time, it might have even been the same day, Jason Haynes declared that he was going to win. So then both of us are kind of big trash talkers on the forums, and then a little bit of trash talk between the two of us started, where we then declared that the Jasons were going to win AT5 Open. And with us going back and forth with who was going to be first place. At that point, I'm sure a lot of people listening to this were reading all of that, but I'm going to let everyone in on a secret about this. When that was going on, I then had an idea, and I sent Jason an email behind the scenes, and it was basically like, hey, do you want to do a fake rivalry on the forums to get everyone really pumped up and get them talking trash? Because AT4 had been kind of quiet with the trash talk, and both of us kind of wanted to see more. So then we started emailing each other about it, and we were like, oh, yeah, that would be so funny. Let's totally do it. And that's when we really ramped up the trash talk between each other, and it actually started hijacking a bunch of threads, and we had to kind of cut back on it. And then we got really busy. But
The poster was hilarious, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that poster was ready about 3 days into AT5.
Oh, really? Get out of here.
And we were like, no, it's too soon to post it. We have to hold on to it. And it sucked holding on to that because it was so funny. But we wanted to wait until some of the trash talk kind of died down, where a lot of people at the beginning of the contest were saying, oh, I'm going to win this, and they're really pumped up. But then about 3 weeks in, they kind of fall off the grid, and then you never see photos from them. So we wanted to keep that going, and we didn't want to let people just drop out. So we decided that we had to hold on to that poster till it started to quiet down, and then we would post it to try to get people more pumped up.
A little motivated, yeah.
Yeah, but it, oh man, that was so hard because we had this thing and we loved it and we just wanted to post it.
Oh man, that I cracked up when I saw that thing. I thought that was the most creative thing of the whole contest.
Well, we were actually planning on, after that, we were going to do some videos calling each other out, like on YouTube, like wrestling style, like just kind of yelling into the mic.
Yeah.
But then we both got really busy and didn't have time for that.
Right.
But when we were discussing all this stuff, like, oh, what should we do to get everyone pumped up? Jason mentioned, he's like, you know, since we're doing this, like, we have to win.
No, yeah, that's a really good point. Someone's got to, one of the two, you better win if that's the case.
Yeah, he was like, we're talking so much shit that, like, we can't not win. And, you know, my response was, well, yeah, that's true. So then there was another reason why I was just, there really was no choice but to win, because, you know, if I'm going to talk really big like that, then I better back it up. And I knew I could do it, so it wasn't a question of, you know, can I do it or not? It was just, okay, well, now that we're doing this, it has to happen. Like, there's no option, and I have no idea who's going to enter. You know, like, maybe there's someone like Alan Elliott out there who's not posting on the forums, but he's going to enter the contest. So the whole time, you know, if there was ever a day where I didn't want to train because I was working so hard and I was tired. I kept that in mind. If there was a day that I was supposed to be fasting and I just didn't really feel like it, then I would just chew more gum and drink a bunch of coffee because I didn't know who might be entering, and I knew that I had to win. And I didn't, like, I wasn't going to settle for second place again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I flat out, the only option for me personally was to take first place.
Mm-hmm. So I guess all that kind of trash talking and the poster and all that declaration stuff kind of helped then, right? Kind of kept you accountable.
Oh, it helped a lot. I mean, I said before that being on the forums and posting on the blogs and making yourself accountable that way is huge. And, you know, I stand by that more than ever. Especially even just, like, giving advice to other people and just being active that way, it doesn't even mean you're asking for help. Like, giving other people advice and helping them out keeps you accountable because, like, who are you to give someone advice
if you can't do
it? Do it yourself.
Right. So yeah. So it's almost like that might be the even more potent way to move yourself forward is to sort of be in that leadership position, so to speak.
Oh, totally. I think I've probably got more out of the forums from trying to help other people out than I have, you know, from asking questions.
Hmm.
You know, because at this point, I pretty much have it handled, so I don't really have that many questions. But when you're helping other people out, it just kind of reinforces it. And maybe you're having a really shitty week, and you kind of let things go. But then someone posts something, and you know, tell them, look, just do this, and you'll be fine. That might be the solution to what you've been going through. But because you are not able to remove yourself from yourself,
mm-hmm.
you're not always objective. But if it's the exact same problem that someone else is having, and then you can recognize it, then you have a solution.
Mm-hmm. And you might be able to see it more clearly that way.
Oh, I think you can definitely see it more clearly that way. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise, why would people ask other people for help when they have a problem? Like, everyone always has an opinion for someone else's problem, but then they need help with their own. And it's just, mm-hmm. I just think that's part of human nature where you can't, not necessarily you can't, but it's really hard to be objective when you're talking about yourself.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's a given.
So,
and especially when it comes to this sort of stuff, body image, it's such a trick, right? And the effort it takes
totally.
To change the way you look and all that stuff. And just, you always have your life situation tugging at you. You have your stresses, your emotions, all that stuff. So I guess it really does help to just try to help with somebody else with their issue. And then maybe just stop, reread your solution and be like, I could probably just apply that to myself.
Oh, yeah, totally. And even if you're having an issue and you post it, and I've done this a lot of times, especially in AT3, but even a little bit in AT5, where I'd post like, oh, you know, I don't know how to deal with this, or, you know, something's too stressful and I can't keep going. But then as soon as you post it and you just reread your words, usually the solution becomes pretty clear, even before someone starts posting the answer you.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to reread it and then you get your answer. Okay, so I guess that kind of covers the way you use the forms for accountability this time. So what was your approach different this time? Like, did you your actual training and dieting approach? Like, I know you said you came full circle on ESC. So what did you actually do through AT5 this time?
Well, I basically did everything completely differently this time. So
was your work situation just as messed up?
It wasn't as bad. I went to a different company, which mm-hmm. is much better. But there were still a lot of long hours. I never made it to 7 days a week, but I was doing 6 days a week for, I don't know, the majority of the contest. Now, this actually, as of now, I'm planning on open level 2 next year.
Mm.
But I'm a little worried about entering because Most times that I've competed, 2 weeks into the contest, the hours start getting crazy. And I don't want to jinx it again, but 2 weeks into the contest, like basically before the contest started, I started MBF because I'd never done MBF and I kind of wanted to try it out. And, you know, I was just working 40 hours a week and it was really easy to train and fast 2 times a week when I was working 40 hours a week. Then 2 weeks in, we went to 10-hour days with an hour lunch, so it's really like an 11-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't so bad. I mean, AT3, most of the time I was doing 12 hours, 7 days a week. And that was awful. But so this, a lot of my thought of that was, well, I did it with a much worse condition, so, you know, it'll be a little harder, but it shouldn't be, you know, that bad. And so I continued with MBF and fasting. I was doing, like, 2 times a week. Basically, I'd do Tuesday and Thursday I would fast. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I would train. I think I changed it up, actually. I was doing, basically, I found I couldn't do MBF 5 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
My body just couldn't handle it. And it was always after day 3 where I really felt like I needed a day off.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do 3 days on, 1 day off, and then my day off I would fast. Then I'll do 2 days on, 1 day off. So I guess it was Tuesday and Friday as I was fasting at that point with MBF. And then, so that's basically where I started. And I think around halfway through, and the food that I was eating at this time was not restricted at all. The only restriction that I had was that there was 2 days a week where I only ate dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically would let myself eat whatever I wanted. You know, it didn't matter what it was. I was going to eat whatever I wanted, and I'm going to enjoy it. Which, by the way, when you're fasting 2 to 3 times a week, you appreciate the taste of your food so much more than you do when you're eating all the time.
Mm-hmm. And, but only eating certain categories of food.
Yeah. And, I mean, most of what I ate was, you know, what you could consider, you know, like most people would call healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because I was forcing it. It was just because it tastes really good. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you cook vegetables and meat properly, you know, it doesn't have to be fried to taste good. Like, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make it taste really good, and it just happens to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there was a day, I don't know if the contest had started. Like my wife's birthday came up, and she has a couple of friends whose birthdays are around the same time. So they had a birthday party, and for hours I was just drinking beer and eating cake. And there was no restrictions on that at all. Like, I couldn't even guesstimate how much I ate, but it might have been like 6,000 calories of cake that I ate that one day.
Mm.
But if you, you know, then you do 2 or 3 fasts and it doesn't matter, you know?
Right.
But most of the time I wasn't really cutting. The first 2 weeks, I like to, at the beginning of the contest, everyone's really pumped, so I like to go really hard cutting with that. So the first 2 weeks I dropped a couple pounds. Then I kind of just, you know, I would, while I was at work, I would try to restrict the amount that I ate. So if I wasn't fasting, I only fast at work. I never fast when I'm not at work.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't fasting that day, I could eat whatever I wanted, but I could only eat enough that when I start to feel that I'm done eating, then I'm done. And there's a big difference between being done and being full. And that's something that I had to learn in between AT3 and AT5. And it took a while. And during that time, I learned there's a difference between being done eating and being full. And I also learned that I really like how my body feels with an empty stomach. I don't like the hunger. Well, it's not even hunger. I don't know what actual hunger feels like. It's the desire to eat when you're fasting. I don't like that, but I do like how my body just physically feels. And there's a mental aspect to that, too. I don't fully understand that, but there was a point where I posted that I kind of understand now why a lot of religions use fasting as a way to make you more spiritual. And it wasn't that I was feeling like I was being spiritual by it, but it just seemed to connect my thoughts and my feelings and my body together in a way that I hadn't really ever experienced before.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. There's some kind of mental, emotional clarity. There's something going on there. Some people describe it as a lightness. There's some kind of lightness to the whole situation, and not just a physical lightness, but maybe a lightness as in a lower stress state. I don't know. I know what you're saying, and I think almost everybody who's fasted and taken a serious run at fasting for a while can resonate, and a lot of people understand that feeling. Like, especially what you just said, you like the way your body feels, even though, yeah, you're not necessarily thrilled about the desire to want to eat, but you also at the same time like the way it actually feels, like the way your body feels. So, yeah, lots of people have reported something similar about that.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, it's kind of hard to describe it because I don't actually know how to describe it. All I can say is I really enjoy how it feels physically. And I actually like the days. Physically, I like the days when I'm fasting better than days when I'm eating. But it's not necessarily a huge difference. But days where I eat a lot and I feel really full, the way I feel is awful. And whenever I do that, and I do it because I like eating, and for better or worse, I enjoy eating too much, which is why I had been fat in the past. I enjoy it while I'm doing it, but afterwards I just feel gross and terrible. Just physically, like mentally, it's not like I feel like, oh, I can't believe I let myself do that, I'm so weak or anything like that. It's just, I just kind of feel physically gross. And then all I can think about is, man, I wish I felt like how I feel when I'm fasting.